In the name of Jesus, our beautiful Savior, dear brothers and sisters, at the end of a very long day, a very tired mother is telling her 7-year-old son that he needs to brush his teeth, put on his pajamas, and go to bed. But she can barely get a word out, because every time that she begins to speak, he interrupts her with a barrage of requests. But mom, can I stay up a little bit longer? Can I play some more video games? And can I have some chocolate? And can I go dance on the roof? And can I stay up all night? Why do I have to go to bed? And she can barely get a word out, this very tired mother, at the end of a very long day, because he keeps interrupting her. He will not listen. How do you think this situation will turn out? How do you think things will go? One week into boot camp, the recruit raises his hand because he has a number of suggestions that he'd like to share with the drill instructor on how things could be run better. How do you think this will turn out? How do you think this situation will go? As she's standing before the judge, she's so eager to plead her case that she continues to interrupt him before she's even allowed to speak. And though he bangs his gavel a number of times and warns her that she's going to be in contempt of court, she will not be quiet. She keeps interrupting the judge. How do you think this situation is going to turn out? How do you think it'll go? There are times in life when it's better to remain silent, when it's better not to speak, when it's better to listen and not give advice. One of our friends in the faith named Rocky, well, Peter is usually how we call him, Peter in the Bible, he knew this. He learned this through vivid lessons, that there are some times where it's better not to interrupt, not to speak, but rather to listen. One of the most vivid lessons he ever had in this truth came just a few days, 6 days before the words I read to you from God's Word. Just 6 days before the Transfiguration account, Jesus is walking with God. Walking with Jesus. And Jesus lays out the plan for saving the world. He says, it won't be long. I'm going to Jerusalem, and there I will be handed over to the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and they are going to abuse me. And I am going to be crucified. But then I'm going to rise from the dead. But Peter had turned off his listening ears, probably around the time where he heard, I'm going to be crucified. The rest about getting raised from the dead kind of seemed to sail over his head. And so instead of listening, Peter starts speaking. And he interrupts Jesus. And he says, no, never, Lord. Let me give you advice for how to do this better. Never, Lord. You should never go there. That's an awful idea, basically what he's saying. How do you think it turns out when you try to interrupt God and tell him he's wrong? Well, this is what happened for Peter. Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Ouch. Oh, boy. I got yelled at a few times at school, but my teacher never called me Satan. So God used strong words, because Peter had a little bit of a listening problem. And I bet that was still stinging a little bit 6 weeks later as Peter's huffing and puffing up a hill with James and John. But then something amazing happened. Jesus is transfigured. That means to change appearance. Jesus is always glorious. He's always true God, but oftentimes he keeps that hidden and veiled so he doesn't blow humans away. But here he lets some of that out. He lets some of it be seen. Face shining brighter than the sun, clothes bright as the light. And then how amazing. There's Moses and there's Elijah and they are talking. And now, Peter has in front of him one of the greatest opportunities for listening that any human has ever encountered. Just think of this scene. You have Moses there, the man who wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. You have Elijah, one of the most famous and greatest prophets and preachers of all time. And you have Jesus, true human, true God. And they're talking, and you're close enough that you can hear them. And we hear from one of the other Gospels, they're talking about Jesus' departure. They're talking about the plan to go to Jerusalem and die and rise. If Peter would have just been quiet and listened, could you imagine eavesdropping on that conversation? How incredible. Could you imagine the spiritual wisdom and insight and comfort and encouragement that maybe you could get from hearing Moses, Elijah, and God talking? He could have just listened. Oh, but Peter's listening ears aren't on. He's not listening. He's just thinking about what he can do, and so he makes a suggestion. He kind of interrupts the conversation between Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And he says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He's giving advice. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, not everything Peter suggests is bad. It's good that he wants to be near Jesus. And he wants to put up shelters. Okay, he wants to stay with them. And in fact, it's even a little bit selfless. And notice how many shelters Peter suggested putting up. Three. One for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter's not even talking about putting up a tent for himself. Peter will sleep on the ground. He doesn't care. Okay, that's nice. That's good service. It's good to want to be with Jesus. But the thing is, it would be better for Peter at this moment to listen to Jesus. Because at this moment, more than anything, Jesus didn't want Peter to get all wrapped up in some kind of busyness and start putting up tents. He could take care of that. He wanted him to listen. Because Jesus wanted to encourage Peter. Because Jesus knew Peter was going to have some rough days to come. And if Peter could just take some time out from his busy itinerary of tent putting up to listen to the words that he had, he'd be better in the long. But Peter still hasn't learned this lesson, and so then he needs to be reminded once more, and it gets vivid while he was still speaking. Well, Peter's still going on. He's still not listening. Finally, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And then Peter gets it, and the other disciples do too. Now they realize they're in the presence of a holy God, and they fall face down to the ground, terrified. Well, it's easy for me today to throw little rocks at Rocky, to say, "Oh, Peter, you silly little disciple, you." But I'm so thankful for Peter, and I'm so thankful that all his mistakes are recorded, because it makes me feel a little bit better. It makes me realize I'm not alone with having a listening problem, and maybe you aren't either. This is my son. Listen to him. That's what God says. So why don't I? And why don't you? Well, now, you might be able to argue very quickly against that, saying, "Well, Pastor, we're here at church. We're listening to him right now." I know, and that's good. And it is good for us to be here. We've put up pews for you, and it's good for you to stay and linger for a little bit. But day by day, hour by hour, do I listen? Am I eager to take time at the foot of God's word and say, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. Oh, Lord, clear my mind of anything. I have nothing else to do but to listen to you. And every word you say, God, I'm going to hang on it. It's going to be my word. It's going to be my life. Or, like Peter, through many days, I have all kinds of advice that I really need to get to God. That God, he really needs to take some time to listen to me. Lord, your words are good, and I'm sure your plan is good, oh Lord, but listen to me. I have some ideas here. I don't know what this illness is going to accomplish in my life, so listen to me, God. Why don't you remove it? Listen to me, God. This problem and that problem are not good. But listen to me, God, if you'd remove them quickly, or at least show me a really, really concrete answer to this problem, then I'll be fine. Oh, yeah, you know, everything will work together for my good. I've heard that one before. But show me how. Where's the email, God? Listen to me, God. I know we're supposed to love all people. But boy, there are some people that are really hard to love. If you could somehow get them out of my life, I don't know. Just, God, listen to me. Make life easier for me and make the people around me more lovable. Then I can follow you more and better. Listen to me, God. I do trust you. I do trust that you'll provide my daily bread. But listen to me, God. If you just give me a little bit more than bread and a little bit more in the storeroom, then I can trust in you and then I'll praise you and then I'll serve you. Listen to me, God. Why do you give me this or that problem? Listen to me, God. It's time for you to give me this or that solution. Just like Peter, we love to give God advice. And just like Peter, when we finally realize that there are some problems in life that are bigger than we are, and that we can't answer all of our sin and guilt with trying to do more or be more, and just like Peter and the disciples, when we fall face down on the ground terrified because of this or that problem, fear of death or fear of our own sin, then at times too, Lord, forgive me because I still don't listen. You've given me your words and I fail. And wouldn't it be right for God to just get a little bit impatient with us? I mean, my goodness, in those opening illustrations, you knew it's not good to mess with a drill instructor, a judge, or a mother at the end of a long day. Why would we presume to mess with God? Why would we presume such arrogance that we think we don't need time for his word or try to tell him what he should have said or should be doing in our life? God, who shines like the sun, who can see through me, who can see through you, who can see everything you ever said, done, and thought, would have every right to wipe me out and wipe you out too. Or to grab me by the neck and say, oh yeah, you're going to listen to me now, Bergman. It's been 40 years I've been putting up with you not listening. But I'm so happy with what happens next in this text. And I think Peter, James, and John were too. But Jesus came and whacked them? No. Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Ha! Finally, in despair, in fear, they have nowhere else to go. And they look up and they see no one except Jesus. And then finally, they're ready to listen. But he, as always, is ready to speak. And he tells them the very words they need to hear. Don't be afraid. And why don't they need to be afraid? Well, it's not because Jesus can make his face shine like the sun and do cool miracles. It's because he was going to do the most amazing miracle of all. He was going to take back that glory, go down the mountain, and go to Mount Calvary. And at Mount Calvary, he hide that glory and he would die as the sun stopped shining in the sky. And that would be the most glorious, incredible thing that God would ever do for man. He'd die. He'd die for Peter's lack of listening. Well, in his attempts at homicide, too, he did a number of other things. And he'd die for my spiritual laziness and apathy and selfishness and yours too. And he died for all those sins that would make you and I fall on our faces as though dead men before a holy God. And it would all go away. God will not wipe us out because of our sin. And he would rise, as he told Peter, and as he tells us, he would rise from the dead so that right now, all of our sins are forgiven. And Jesus, whose clothes are like dazzling white, has put that dazzling white robe of righteousness on you. So God the Father looks at you and says, "This is my son. This is my daughter. Now with you I am well pleased. You do not need to be afraid." Just like Peter, we're going to have our mountaintop days. Those days where everything seems right in the world. Where the sun is shining. The stock market is up. You're eating what you like. You're on the beach. And life is good. And on those days, listen to Jesus and rejoice and say, "God, thank you that you've given me this." But you know this already if you've been through life. Then you're going to come down the mountain. This is just how life goes. Up and down, up and down. You're going to have those valley experiences too, where you're scared, where you're wondering what's going on, where you don't know where your daily bread's coming from, where you wonder if God could love you. Well, at those times, listen to him too, because this is his message to you, whether you're on top of the mountain or where you're in the valley. Do not be afraid. Listen to me. Do you wonder and worry how all of this is going to work out for your good? Listen to me. Listen to me. I promised you that I knew you before you were born and I've written your name in the book of heaven. Do you wonder if I could ever love you? Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I am the Lamb of God, Jesus says, who takes away the sins of the world. Do you live in the world? That means your sins are taken away too. Do you think you cannot go on for one more day? Listen to me. Listen to me. I tell you, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough troubles of its own, but I will take care of you tomorrow too. Do you fear death? Listen to me. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and he who lives and believes in me will never die. Listen to him. And as you listen to Jesus, how do you think the situations in your life will turn out? Well, you'll still suffer at times, but as you listen to him, you'll be filled with his joy, his peace. Each and every day, number one on God's to-do list is speaking to you. And my prayer is that each and every day listening to him can be number one, because then everything else on that list gets put in its proper place. And then that fear that would build up in my heart and yours can be put away. Listen to him. Do not be afraid is what he tells you. Listen to him. I love you is his message. Listen to him. Till that day you will see him in all his glory. Amen. May the words of Jesus Christ our Savior so live in our hearts and minds that we have peace now and always. Amen.